Hallelujah. I'm so excited to minister the word here today. I've been getting so filled up this week in our Mayville church. We had Pastor Noel Ramos in, and what a blessing. I know, you know, if you live in Corey, that was quite a ways to come out, especially in the nighttime. And I know some of you work and things like that. But we do have those services archived, so if you want to listen to them, they're there. I will say that it's a lot different in person than it is listening to the recording. So if you wonder what all the joy is all about, well, sometimes you had to be there. But I believe that if you were unable to be there and the Lord and you listen and you seek Him through those services, He's going to meet you like He did with us who were there. I believe that it's about the heart attached to that, you know. Now, it's always good for us to show up to church because there's something in the Bible. It's called the law of impartation, and we know that the Apostle Paul wrote about it. You know, he said, I long to see you that I may impart some spiritual gift that you may be established. So there's something about getting in the presence of the man or woman of God and getting that impartation. It's not because it's the person. It's because that's what the Word says, that there's something there. But, you know, I also found out by the Word that the Lord revealed to my heart about that scripture, that the next verse talks about that the man or the woman of God will be encouraged together with you when you show up for that impartation. I'll tell you, I would preach to an empty room. I would do it if the Lord called me to come somewhere and that was my assignment. But it's a lot better when people come and they're hungry and they're ready to receive. And so I say that as an encouragement. You know, it doesn't. The numbers of people don't matter. It's the hunger in the room. All right? So we, you know, and the great thing about hunger is you don't think you're hungry sometimes. And then you get around food and you're like, maybe just a bite. Yeah. Or you get around something that smells good and you're like, yeah, maybe I am starting to get hungry. So what you can do is you come to church, you can stir yourself up. Oh, maybe I am hungry. Maybe I am. Maybe just a bite. Maybe I'll take that whole pie. Well, that's free, no charge. Praise the Lord. I'm going to be ministering along the lines of renewing our minds tonight. I'm so excited for this word. The title is called, Let the Word of God Dwell in You Richly. So let's go to the book of Proverbs to begin with. Hallelujah. Oh, I love the wisdom books. I love the wisdom that we can glean from in Scripture. So we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 2 to begin with. Hallelujah. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. Praise God. We're going to get into that tonight. This phrase has been coming to my heart again and again. I've been waking up in the night hearing that in my heart. I've been waking up in the morning hearing that throughout the day. We were sitting at a Star Wars Live Orchestra last night in Chautauqua Institution. And about midway through the movie, it was really cool. The orchestra plays along with the movie. You wouldn't even know that it wasn't part of the video. They were so spot on with their timing, pretty incredible. But meanwhile, so it's an amazing thing, and the Lord is dealing with my heart. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. So I had to stop. I had to get out my Bible, and I had to get into some things during this, you know, Star Wars, because the Lord was dealing with me. And He was giving me revelation even last night and up into waking up this morning with more. So I know this is a word from heaven, and I believe it's for anyone who would receive it. Amen. So Proverbs 2, verse 1 and 2, it says, My son, if you receive my words, see, there's an action on your part. You've got to receive. What does it mean to receive? I accept it. I'm taking it, right? It's being offered, and I'm taking it. And treasure my commands within you so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Hallelujah. Let's keep reading, actually. If you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her understanding, right, as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear, meaning the reverence of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. So first we've got to receive. The word of God is being offered up to us. We have to say, yep, I'm taking it. I'm taking it for me. I receive it. Then we have to treasure that. And I love what it says here. Treasure my commands within you. In verse 2, in verse 1 still. It says, treasure my commands within you. That means treasure or value the word of God. And I found this interesting. Value it within you. Getting it within you. We should place value on getting that word in us, within us. Amen? We're going to get into this. So we incline our ear to wisdom and apply our hearts to understanding and seek those things as silver, meaning they are precious. They are more precious than precious metals. Amen? And then we'll understand the reverence of the Lord. See, we can get very casual with the things of God. And I think what we're seeing by and large, at least in our society, is a casualness with the things of God. We could take God or leave it. We could take church or leave it. Everybody could be a pastor. Nobody better be called pastor because that's exalting a person. No, we're not exalting a person by referring to them as pastor or reverend. It's an office in the Bible. And so what we're doing is we're recognizing, God, you put this office in my life. I don't want the man. I want the office. See, isn't that funny? Isn't that interesting how the devil will twist that? Because what you're saying by speaking out, pastor, is you're saying, I want to receive what you have for me as pastor. And so the world and the devil has twisted that so like you're exalting a human. No, I'm exalting that office. If I was constantly Renee, 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 you would be more exalting me than that office, amen? And so that's an interesting thing that just as I'm standing up here, realizing that that's an interesting twist that the devil has made it like you're exalting them by calling them pastor. Interesting. Anyway, that's free, no charge. Let's go to Proverbs 4. We're just going to see some wisdom here. Proverbs 4, verse 20. Hallelujah. Love the word. Word is helpful. It's life. Amen. Oh, here we go again. My son or daughter, right? My child, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Isn't that interesting? We're seeing this again. You incline your ear. You do not depart from his sayings, right? Don't let it depart from your eyes. So you receive it, you incline, you give attention to it, and look it, keep it in the midst of your heart. Just like we said, I treasure it within me. Same thing. Something here is a continual theme that we're seeing. We've got to get the word of God in us, and that's what we're talking about. In us, getting it in us, not just in our head, but in us, our spirit, our true spirit nature. Amen? It says, for they, the words of God, right, are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. God wants to heal us. That's in his word. This is just a little word in the middle of a big scripture. And he's showing us, again, right, that when we get into the word of God, that's where our life is found and that's where our health is found. He's a healer. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Hallelujah. Your heart here is not talking about your spirit. Your heart is talking about your emotions, your mind. And what it's saying here is keep your emotions, keep your mind with all diligence. That means guard that area. For out of it spring the issues of life. So we can be taken, our minds can be taken captive, and we can be destroyed. That's the place the devil comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. He comes in our thought life. He comes to take that. And so we can't just have the word of God in our head. We have to get it within us. Does that make sense? We can't just have it in our head. In our head is the area the devil can rob. But in the belly, in our innermost parts, within us, inside us, in, you know, hidden inside of us, that's where we can really guard the word of God. Amen? There's a real enemy, and he really wants to destroy, steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to fight. He wants to take it from us. He wants to kill us. But if we keep the word hidden in us and guarded in us, he can't get that from us. And his word is life to all, to those who find it, and health to all our flesh. Do you understand that? Do you see that? That's where the connection is. That's where we're like, wait a minute. No longer can I just be willy-nilly with the word of God. And memorizing it isn't enough. I've got to get it inside of me. Amen. All right, Ephesians 6:17, because, you know, I know a lot of people who know a lot more scripture than I do, and they're living for the devil, or they don't even believe in the goodness of God. How can you know more scripture than I know, and you don't even believe in God as healer? You don't even believe as God is the one who provides for you? You don't even believe as God in God as Father? How can you? It's because it's in your head, and it's not inside. Got the head knowledge and the head understanding, but not the spirit knowledge. That's the difference. Hallelujah. All right, Ephesians 6:17. Yeah, we had just a couple weeks ago an encounter with a gentleman who was trying to argue with us scripture. And he had no understanding of what the scriptures actually meant, but he could quote them. But you could, in quoting them, we still realize there's no revelation of this. You don't even know what you're saying. You are saying this scripture and twisting it, and you don't even know you're doing it because it's head knowledge, memorization, but not in your spirit. Renewing of your mind is so that we get that revelation of God in our spirit. All right, Ephesians 6:17. Praise the Lord. Where are we? I almost want to read the whole thing. No, for sake of time, let's read. It says, take the helmet of salvation and what? The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. See, the word of God is our weapon. And so we've got to get our weapon in our arsenal, or we're not going to have it to use. Our head is not our arsenal. Our head is the battlefield. Our arsenal is our spirit. And so we've got to get the word of God in our arsenal, in our spirit, so that when the battlefield is going on, when the enemy's trying to tell you that you're not going to make, you know, your mortgage payment, you're going to lose your house, you're going to lose your marriage, you're going to lose your kids, you're going to lose your job, you're going to lose, right? Why does the devil always want to convince us of how much we're going to lose? He's the loser. We're the victors. But he wants to get us to stop believing that. And so he always in your head, you're going to lose, you're going to lose, you're going to lose. And even if he doesn't say lose, where does your mind go? To losing everything. I'm just going to die. I'm going to lose everything. Right? That's the battlefield. The arsenal is here. We got to get it in us. Amen. So that we're able to have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word is how we guard and keep our life. Why don't you turn to the book of Joshua? Yep, the word of God, that is the way we guard. That's the way we keep our lives. That's our health. That's our life. Amen. It's our weapon. And we keep our weapon ready by renewing our minds. Let's go to Joshua book chapter 1. It's in my Bible. Hallelujah. There it is. Praise the Lord. God's word is good, amen? And it's so simple. It's so simple for us to understand. It's simple when we look at the word of God through our spirits. And when we purpose to read the word of God with our spirit, not just with our mind. Because we can get really hung up on religious thinking and twisted scripture if we don't read the word the right way. All right, so we're going to start in verse 6. It says, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. That's interesting. I would underline that. Be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Listen to this. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. We're going to read, we're going to get into this scripture more. So at first it says, for this people you shall divide as an inheritance. What is an inheritance? It means it's something that you have been given to acquire or possess. Amen? But if you turn from the word of God, you forfeit that inheritance. That's what these scriptures are letting us know. That if you turn away from the word of God, you're not going to inherit that inheritance. You're not going to receive it. It'll belong to you, but you just won't know how to receive it. Something else we see here is the commandment to be strong, and I think it's really interesting, very courageous. Very courageous. Well, what is that all about? That's all about that enemy who's going to come and try to rob from us. We've got to be strong. If the word of God, if our inheritance was just we show up to the lawyer and we sign a paper, and now all of it just came to me that very day, that's really easy. But have you ever heard of those, like somebody passes away in a family and they were wealthy and they gave an inheritance to one of the family members and the other ones get all mad, right? And they went to the lawyer, they signed it, they said, okay, I agree to take my inheritance. But when they show up at the house, there's somebody there robbing the china, somebody else is fighting over all the gold jewelry, and they've got to actually contend to be able to have their inheritance. That's kind of like what the very courageous part comes in, right? We've got to actually contend. And what is it? It's the fight of faith. Amen. We have to contend with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, to keep our inheritance, because the devil is trying to take our inheritance. He can't use it. It's not going to really work out for him in the end. He's not going to go to hell with any of that inheritance. But he's hoarding it and taking as much as he can for the sole purpose of taking it away from God's kingdom and God's people. And so we have to guard that. We have to be very courageous. The inheritance is there and belongs to us, but we have to hold fast and keep it. This is why we must keep the word of God in us. Let the word of God dwell in us richly, because our inheritance is being contended. It's being warred against. Let's just pull up 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So you all say, well, I know that scripture. We know it in our heads, but do we know it when the attack comes? We know it in our heads, but when the trial comes, do we remember this? And do we know it in our spirit, where we can take the sword of the Spirit to that battlefield and say, no, devil, I know you're just trying to take from me. You're just roaring. You're just roaring, seeking to devour me, but I've got the word of God. So when the inheritance is being contended for, we've got to have scripture in our arsenal so that we can remember this right here. So if you don't have this scripture in your arsenal, if you don't have this inside of you, this knowledge that the one who's trying to take from you is not God, but it's the devil, if you don't have that, then this is your homework assignment. You get that in you. You get that understanding that this is where it's coming from. Because we can say we know it. You probably were like, oh yeah, I remember that scripture. But do you remember it when the trial comes? Do you remember it? And so this is what we're talking about tonight. We can know a lot of stuff in our head, but do we know it in our hearts enough where no one's telling us otherwise? I know my husband in my heart. I know him so well that you could say something that was opposite of his character and I would never believe it, because I know the truth so thoroughly, right? I just know it so firsthand, right? Hallelujah. So if you let him, by not fighting the fight of faith, he will devour and steal from you. And then Christians say, well, God's just taken from me. God's just trying to do this to me. God's teaching me a lesson. He's going to see if I can make it. I wrote recently in one of our Faith Fix answering a question about whether or not God wants us healed. I don't know why I'm on this, but I wrote that, people think that God is some puppet master. I mean, I'm not telling you to go watch the Hunger Games, but, all my students were watching the Hunger Games, and I wanted to know what it was all about. And so I watched this Hunger Games, and all it is these evil people who are putting people in this horrible situation, trying to see if they will die or live, and hoping that they die. And whoever one person makes it out alive, well, they won. They're the victor. I got my entertainment. God is not that sick. He is not trying to put cancer on people and trying to destroy people, take people's children, take people's families. He's not doing that. He is not this puppet master. But the devil will tell you otherwise. He'll roar. That sickness comes. God's trying to teach you a lesson. And so you know what happens? People take that and believe that because they don't have the revelation in their spirit. And so the devil is allowed to devour them. They don't even know it. They're good people. Probably even a lot of times good, faithful Christians who love God. But they love a God who the devil has convinced them is different than he really is. He's not that God. He's not that God who wants to destroy you. I wouldn't serve a God who put cancer on people.
You're right.
I would close these doors right now.
Yeah, right.
I'd be done with it. Because that's not God. That's the devil, and the Word of God says that. Amen? But faith, John mentioned this, and this is in my notes too. Faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17. We got it right up there. We got to know that we're not going to have faith for anything unless we hear it, and not just in our head. We got to hear it in our hearts. We got to get it in our hearts. Amen. As we get the word more and more in us, there's more and more faith that comes to us. So then we stand in the face of the devil and laugh. See, Pastor Noel Ramos was here. And he was talking about that. Why can he laugh? Why can he so readily be in joy? Because the Word of God says that we can stand before the devil and we're the victors. That the Lord prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. Amen? That no matter what, if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because God is with me. See, so the Word of God tells us all these things. So why can we be in joy even when the trial comes? Because we know the truth, but we have to know it in us. If we don't know it in us, we don't have it. So we can have that floating around in our mind, but we got a lot of other garbage floating around in our minds. If you live on earth, by the nature of living on earth, we've got garbage that comes into our minds. We just do. You go to a grocery store, you got garbage music coming into your head. You turn on the television, maybe you're even watching a godly program, but the commercial comes on and it's trying to put some garbage in your head, right? You go to a colleague and they're dropping F-bombs behind you, trying to put some garbage in your head, right? So there's, by nature of where we live, there's going to be garbage in our heads. So the Word of God, it can be in our head, but where we really want it to be is in the pure place, which is our spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go to the book of Psalms. Hallelujah. More wisdom. We're going to get into more wisdom tonight. I hope you're getting this. And we're going further with it. We're going further. We're just seeing the importance, why it really matters to get the word in us. You know, you can live and die. You can accept Jesus. You can even believe that God wants you sick. You can refuse the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. You can do all those things, and you can still make it to heaven. But your life on this earth won't be as blessed as God intended it to be. And see, that's the difference. We never say that you can't be saved if you don't accept the Holy baptism of the Holy Spirit. We never say that you can't be saved if you don't believe God's healer. We don't say that. That's not true. The Word says if you call upon Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you will be saved. But it's the blessings on that, on the earth while we're here, it's our ability to be the vessel that he can use that matters, that makes a difference when we renew our mind. Those are the reasons we renew our mind, because we want the good life here. We want the good life here. We want to reach people here. And when we can't reach people, it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. And so we got to live a good life, because we got to show that God's a good God. Amen. All right, Psalm 37, verse 12, hallelujah, and 13. It says, the wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. So if we keep that in our remembrance, if we know in our heart that when the enemy is contending against us, we already won. We can laugh, we can be of good cheer, we can be of happy spirit, we can be in joy, because we know that he's such a fool. Why are you competing against me? You can never win. You're wearing yourself out. I'm going to be stomping on you and telling you that you were worth nothing, devil. I'm the victor. Someday, I know the end from the beginning. You know, I was thinking about this, actually, the Lord put it on my heart as I woke up. This morning, that I'm somebody who, if I watch a movie or play a video game, I get into it. Like, my whole body is like joining in. I'm like, if I'm playing a video game, I'm like jumping with the characters. If I'm watching a movie and action is happening, I'm like, oh no, you know. I just am very animated when it comes to those things. And so if I'm watching a movie that is like an action-packed movie and, you don't know what's about to happen and there's, you know, some bad guy that's trying to get the good guy or whatever, then I could be on the edge of my seat and even have that like weird anxiety, like, oh my gosh, what is going to happen? What's going to happen to them? Like, I can feel myself going, oh no, right? Anybody else do that, or am I just crazy? But the thing is if I watch that same movie a second time and I know that the bad guy doesn't make it, I can laugh and I can take it easy because I don't have that same anxiety, that same like, nervousness. And see, we know what happens at the end of the story. We know what happens. And so when we've got something coming, that action, that bad guy's coming, we're not like, what's going to happen? We know the end from the beginning, so we can laugh. We just take it easy. Oh, yeah, go ahead, try. You ever yell at your TV? Ha ha, go ahead, try it. You're not going to make it. You ever do that? I've done that. I'm telling on myself. This is for real. You ever do that? You're like, yeah, right, they're not going to win. You ever feel, devil, you're not going to win. You're not going to make it. You're not going to convince me. You're not going to take my family. You're not going to take my house. You're not going to rob from my job. That person who's speaking unreasonably about me, that person who's spreading gossip, there's going to come, the darkness is going to come to light. My integrity will stand, right? So we stand on the word of God because we know the end from the beginning. You know, we don't have to have that weird adrenaline and momentary anxiety. We don't have to have that. You know, we know the enemy's going to lose. So you'd laugh at that bad guy, and you should laugh at the enemy, amen? That's what that scripture's saying. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes his teeth at him. He's growling, roaring like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's gnashing his teeth, right? But the Lord laughs at him because he sees his day is coming. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we need to see the end from the beginning. We need to know that we win, the devil loses, no matter what. Everybody say this, we win, the devil loses, no matter what. I know the end from the beginning. Yeah, say it, I know the end from the beginning. That's right, and you stand on that. And you can say that. Do you know that? You can say that. That is a phrase of faith, if you will. The devil's attacking you, I know the end from the beginning. I know it. And I don't let you beat me in this. We have an inheritance from the Lord. We win. We win in every situation, whether it's in our body, our mind, with our children, our spouse, in our job, whatever it is. We win as we stick with him. Amen? Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Hallelujah. You getting help here? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. The Bible is so rich, so helpful. But you got to read it with your spirit. That means you got to come to the Lord expecting the Holy Ghost to be your teacher and show you. And of course, we know the rules of Bible interpretation, that we don't just take any one scripture out of context, that we read the whole book to understand the whole scripture, that we understand God's character by seeing the same thing again and again and again. Amen. People will take and twist scripture, but you got to know more scripture than they know, so that you can't be twisted with them, amen? All right, 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be very courageous. Be very courageous. Be steadfast. Be immovable. Do you see a common theme here? You stand. You get it in you. You get it hidden inside of you. You get it in your spirit. You take the sword of the word, the sword of the spirit, the word of God, and you get it inside your arsenal so that you're ready for battle when the battle comes to the head. See, most of our trials are in our head. You know, I'm somebody who has a very vivid imagination. That's the artist in me. And so I could take a situation that's really minimal, and I could have it like the world is ending in 5 minutes. I could do that because I could figure out this detail. I mean, that makes a good storyteller, right? I could make a really fun action novel probably with just weird things that have come to my mind that told me that destruction is coming. Amen. But we can't do that. We've got to stand on the victory. We can't like let the devil get us that far off where all of a sudden, you know, that pain in your leg becomes, you know, you bumped your leg on your counter, but then later you feel that you got a little pain in your leg and you're like, oh, probably cancer. You been there, right? My kids aren't going to have a mom. You been there? If you're a woman and you have kids or otherwise, amen. All right, Colossians 3:16. Hallelujah. The word is good. Hallelujah. We got to get stirred for the things of God. Hallelujah. Colossians 3:16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's where this whole sermon came from. That being revealed to my heart. And how would that scripture come to me? Because it's inside of me. See, if God can only use what you know in your heart, he can only use the scriptures you know. He can only use those to speak with you. He can only use those to reveal things to you. Like if you're in your own time with him, if you don't know any scripture, he can't speak scripture to your heart. You know that? Like you can't do that. If you don't know it, he's not going to give you anything for you to chew on. Does that make sense? You can only know what you know. It can only be used if it's in there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Well, you know how you can sing, you know, in your own time, you may have a psalm or a hymn or a spiritual song where there's just songs that come to your heart, not ones that you heard worship team singing, but just songs that come to your heart. Actually, this happens to me all the time. I'm constantly singing. I don't sing well, but I'm constantly singing. My kids can tell you I'm constantly singing, and it's because what's in me is able to come out. But when the word of God isn't dwelling in you richly, when it's just, I went to church and I heard the minister speak, and so I thought it was a good sermon, and then I went home and the rest of the week, I didn't spend any time getting in the word of God. I didn't spend any time looking at my notes. I didn't spend any time reflecting on the things I had learned. Then the word of God can't dwell in you richly. So when the devil comes to attack, you have nothing in your arsenal. The word richly is abundantly. That is to say that the more we put the word of God in us, the more abundant it will be in us. If you're collecting something, you know, we used to collect sea glass. We used to go to Lake Erie and collect sea glass. Some people call it beach glass. We used to go there often. We'd collect it. We'd stick it in our pockets because sometimes we'd just show up there not planning to do it. And so we didn't have like bags or buckets or anything, but we would stick it in our pockets wherever, you know. And, you know, we used to take it home. And if we put it in a jar, then we could add to it every single time, right? But another thing that can happen, you know, with sea glass, what we found is sometimes because we'd stick it in our pockets, we'd put our shorts in our washing machine, forgetting about the sea glass, and then it would just be kind of all over, probably in the pipes, probably in the dryer. Maybe we'd find a couple pieces later on, but our collection was a lot smaller than it could have been if we would have put it somewhere safe to begin with. And so what the Lord dealt with me about is that that's the same thing with the Word of God. If we don't put it somewhere safe, then it gets scattered really easily. And if you don't collect sea glass, you would understand this with loose change. You ever go to the store, you stick your loose change in your pocket, you go home, you lay on the couch, it spills out in the cushions, you put your clothes in the hamper, some of it spills out in the hamper, you throw the clothes in the washing machine, some of it spills out in the washing machine. I'm saying it because we've all been there. You know, you get it in the dryer, some of it's in the dryer, and now all of a sudden that change is scattered all around the house, your car, wherever. But if you would have put it somewhere safe to begin with, you would have had it to spend later on. Amen. And that's the same thing with the Word of God. We can have it in our head. Our head is like our pocket. We can stick it in our head. We can memorize it. But if we don't get it in our hearts, and what I mean by that when I say that is the revelation of it. What's God trying to tell me through this scripture? Not just what do the words say. What is God telling me through this? What's the spirit of this scripture? What is God trying to deal with my heart about? We could read this, let the Word of God dwell in you richly. And then that would, you know, you may remember that phrase. But what does it mean to have the Word of God dwell in you richly? See, we're devouring it, getting it inside of us so we actually understand it. Amen. In a sense, it's like we're experiencing the scripture ourselves. So richly is abundantly. So the more you put the word in you, the more abundant it will be. If you go home with that change and you stick it in a jar all the time, you may have a nice vacation at the end of the year. But if some of it's in the couch and some of it's in the dryer and some of it's in the hamper and some's in your car and the neighbor down the street found a quarter on the ground because you dropped it on the way in your house, you don't have the same collection you would have had if you would have placed it somewhere safe to begin with. And so what I say with all of this, if this is, I hope it's not confusing, but what I say with all of this is what we do is we don't read a whole book of scripture and say, well, I'm getting scripture in me. No, start with one scripture. Make this your assignment this week. Get a scripture about whatever you're dealing with. If you are being pressed financially, get into the Word of God about finances and God's prosperity and God's abundance. If you are dealing with a relationship being sour, get into the Word of God about love and walking in love and how to handle that. If you're dealing with symptoms in your body, get into the Word of God about that. Get one, two scriptures, something simple, and devour it and open it up and say, Holy Spirit, show me, help me understand this scripture. Teach it to my spirit. Because then what we're doing is we're putting that change in the bank, in the piggy bank. Our kids have these banks that Melinda, their Nana, had bought them years ago. And they're like these little dinosaurs. And they have they're wooden and they have an opening at the mouth and then a tube that goes down like this. And then they land in the belly. It's kind of like that with the Word of God. It needs to get down all the way into that belly. It can't just stay in the mouth. If it stays in the mouth, it's easily removed. You know, they talk, it falls out. You know what I'm saying? Like, you need to get it inside of you. So if you're saving towards something, at first you only have a little bit, and then it grows. It collects more. So don't go home and say, oh my gosh, I need to be some spiritual giant, and this week I'm going to memorize 40 scriptures. No, please take one, two, get it in your heart. You know what I did this morning when I woke up? Oh, goodness, my time is slipping. When I woke up this morning and some of this revelation of this was on my heart, I just laid there and I was like, okay, Lord, you know, just talking to God, I'm going to go through my arsenal and I'm going to see what's in there. I'm going to just see what scriptures I've got in my arsenal. Which ones do I know? And so I took topic by topic without the Bible open, without Google, without my Olive Tree app, and I just started talking the scripture. What do I have in my arsenal? And you know, some topics I realized, man, one or two scriptures is just not enough. I got to work on that. I got to get some more of those in my arsenal. And so that I'm encouraging you and telling on myself. You know, I used to think that if I read a whole book of the Bible, I hung the moon, I am spiritual. I took a whole hour and I read the whole book, of whatever, Ephesians, whatever. And I maybe only remembered one phrase from it. Because I never got it in me. It was just in my head. It was, you know what I'm saying? You know, when you experience something, for instance, I drive to work almost the same way every day. I drive home almost the same way every day. I could probably do it without even, I do it without even thinking about it. Right? You don't even think about it. It's just there. If someone said, how do you get home? I'd say, okay, well, I go down this road and then I turn that way. You know, like it would be so easy to give anybody directions to my home because I go there every day. Right? So if I was at work and a colleague said, how do I get to your house? I would know exactly what to say because I do it every day. I would know all of your names if anybody asked me because I see you all the time because you're before me all the time. I would know, you know, my children's names, my children's habits, what they like, because I see it all the time. It's the same thing with the Word of God. If some random stranger came in here to visit us, a visitor, I should say, came in and they came today and then maybe 6 months later they stopped back again, probably don't remember their name. Unless I look because I wrote it down somewhere. But I probably don't remember their name because they're not before me all the time. And it's the same thing with the scripture. You can read the scripture right now. We can read these scriptures right now. And you may remember them right now. You may be even reciting it in your own head right now. But if you don't ever get back into it again or you don't look at it again for 6 months, then you don't have it. And so you got to get that scripture in your arsenal. Stop thinking that you have to read whole books of the Bible at a time and take one or two scriptures and get it in you. And how do you get it in you? Okay, what do you mean by this, Lord? You know, I look at the scripture, and if a word pops out to me, I go into Strong's Concordance, or if I don't have one of those, I even go to Webster's Dictionary, and I say, what's the word richly mean? Well, that means abundantly. What does abundant mean? Abundant means a lot. So I should let the word dwell in me a lot. There should be a lot of the word in me. See, do you understand? See how I'm devouring that? So then I'm taking all day or all week and I'm thinking about letting the word of God dwell in me richly. We've got time. We've got time to get scripture in us. I'm not going to go quiz you. I'm not going to come over to you and be like, tell me three scriptures on this topic and three on... I'm not going to do that. You're doing it for you. You're getting it in you for you. So when 1 Peter 5:8, the devil comes about, you know, seeking whom he may devour, you're like, no, no, no. And you're shooting off those bullets. You got them in you. Amen? I hope this is helping. This is just practical. It's just practical. Hallelujah. The Word of God. If you get that word stored in you, just like change in your piggy bank, it's in a safe place. It'll be kept for use when it's ready to use it. So let's, that's what Joshua was talking about. Joshua, meditate on this word day and night. That's how you get it in you. Meditate, think on it, say it out loud. Look at what it means. Recall, you know, in your life experiences that back up what that word said. You know, meaning like if you realize that when you started tithing, man, that devil started coming for it. But then as you continued and you pressed in, the Lord met you in this area, and he met you in this area, and he came through in this area. Remind him, remind yourself, and remind the devil of those things. But let the word live, is what I'm saying. Let the word live. Reuse it again and again in your heart. Get it in you. Dig into it, amen? Hallelujah. It's better to get one scripture down in that piggy bank than 50 scriptures floating around in the couch cushions, the hamper, or the dryer. Yeah. It's better to get one scripture in your heart than 50 in your head. Let the word of God dwell. It's got to be where it can live there. Let's go to Psalms. Actually, you know what? Oh, goodness. Yeah. Let's go to Psalms. Psalm 1, chapter 1, verse 1. Hallelujah. Let the word of God dwell in you richly, abundantly. And a large quantity of the word of God, get it in you. But if we don't start somewhere, we won't have anything. I could have this giant piggy bank, and your spirit is a giant piggy bank, like a bigger piggy bank than you've ever seen before. And it can be filled up. You can put one quarter in it. And if you only ever put one quarter in it a week, you're not going to get very far. But if you spend time, pretty soon you're going to have whole chapters where you understand them, where you got the revelation. And maybe you're not quoting them. Maybe your head could quote things, but we're not trying to quote the scripture. We're not trying to know where were the thes, where were the us, where were the thous. I'm not worried about that. I want it in you so you understand it. You know, when Pastor Noel was here in Mayville, he had somebody, he said, is anybody believing for healing? And somebody had raised their hand, and he said, tell me something you know. Tell me what the word says about healing. And she said, by his stripes I am healed. That's not the whole scripture. You think God needs to hear every single word of that scripture? No, he needs to hear the faith attached to it. So don't worry about getting every single word right. That's mental. That's mentally learning the word of God. It's good if you know it, great, because you can tell it to somebody else, but that's mental. What we want is the spiritual. And the spirit of her knew, by his stripes I was healed. That scripture, that means on the cross he gave us healing. That's what that scripture means. By his stripes, we are healed. It came when he was on the cross, when he had stripes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Psalm 1:1, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, or his word, he meditates day and night. Day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Who? The one who meditates in his word day and night. Meditates to get it in you. Amen. Meditating is like that coin going down into the belly of the bank. Yeah. Oh, praise the Lord. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. I was watching wheat today because I was like, I don't really know the process of removing the chaff from wheat. And so I was watching it. It's quite a process, but you know, they call them, I think, wheat berries. Is that right? Wheat berries? Is that what they call them? Wheat berries? I think so. They're not really wheat. They're like grain, but I think they call them wheat berries. But what they basically do is they get the wheat and the wheat berries and the chaff all together in that kind of last step. And all they do is they dump out the bowl and they have wind blowing on it. And all the chaff blows all over the place. And the wheat remains. But that's what the word of God will do. It'll separate the wheat, the good quality, the usable stuff from that garbage. It'll separate it in our heads. It'll separate it. We'll get the quality stuff that goes down. Amen? Hallelujah. Whatever scripture we need is our answer. That's what we need to remember. Whatever scripture, whatever area we are dealing with trial in or dealing with temptation in, that's the area we have to get in us. And whatever we do regularly will be what we'll be able to do without thinking about it. Yeah. We're going to end in Psalm 119, but we're going to read a few scriptures here. So go ahead to Psalm 119. Hallelujah. I've read, according to scholars, this Psalm 119 is like a collection of writings from the life of David. And it wasn't just all like written at one point. It was like assembled, compiled together. And so there's wisdom over years and years of his life found in Psalm 119. Interesting. And so, you know, we tell our kids all the time, you can learn from our wisdom and what we've learned from our life experiences. And you can do things the easy way, or you can decide to ignore our wisdom and do things the hard way. The choice is yours. But I believe the same thing about the book of Psalms and the wisdom of the Bible. We can choose to ignore the wisdom, or we can glean from the experiences that are expressed in Scripture, and we can do it the easy way, not the hard way. Amen. So King David is sharing wisdom through the Lord that was learned over time. We're going to look first. We're just going to kind of skip through the verse. Psalm 119, verse 2. It says, blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. What's the word? What's the Lord's testimony? It's the word of God. So blessed are those who keep the word of God, who keep his testimony and seek him with their whole heart. And we know according to Matthew 6:33 that as we seek God, and we seek Him first, then all the things we need in life are there. That's the blessing. It's taken care of. Amen. Go down to verse 4. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. King David, oh, that my ways were directed. You know, over time, not David didn't always obey, you know, and he wishes he would have, right? He's learned from that. But we could say, oh, that my ways were directed to keep your word, Lord. Let me, Lord, live in such a way that I keep your word. Well, how do we do that? We have to have it in us. If we don't have it in us, we can't live it, because we're not going to be able to win the battle in our head every time unless it's in our spirit. Hallelujah. I'll go down to verse 10. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Notice that our living right and our being righteous, it's dependent upon the word being inside of us. Because it's going to be really tempting to go out and live like the world when the only word we know is like in our head, not in our heart. We don't actually get in and get that word to mean something to us. See, that's what it means, to mean something, to matter in your life. All right, verse 15. It says, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. My goodness. This is King David and his wisdom over time, his revelation, what the Lord dealt with him about. I will not forget your word, because I would like that I wouldn't sin against you, Lord. So if I don't forget your word, it's going to help me not to sin against you, Lord. I will not. That's a confession I'm going to say. I'm going to start confessing that. I will not forget your word. I will not forget your word. I will meditate on it. I will not forget it. I will meditate on your word, Lord. Verse 25, hallelujah. Oh, yes, this is good. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. What's that, the dust? From dust we come, from dust we'll return. It's talking about this earth. It's talking about this flesh realm. My soul, my head, my mental arena clings to this earth. Clings to the things of the flesh. Revive me, Lord. Revive me according to your word. What does that mean? Renew me, Lord, according to your word. My head, my body, my flesh, it wants to go to the things of the world. But Lord, use your word to renew me, revive me, so I don't live that way. Amen. If you're tempted to go towards the world, you got to renew your mind more. If the world seems appealing to you, you've got to renew your mind more. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Open my eyes, Lord. You know, the Ephesians prayers, you can pray that for other people and for yourself. Open my eyes, Lord, that I would see the value of your word, that I would see the importance of your word for my life. Wondrous things from your law, hallelujah. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide. Oh, wait, where am I reading? I'm sorry. I was up there. Goodness, I guess that was verse 18. Open my eyes that I may see. Well, I guess we could have read that too, but I skipped. I really should be down here. Revive me according to your word. I have declared my ways and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Praise the Lord. Teach me your ways. Our ways and our will is very plain to see, right? It's real easy to know what we want in our natural, right? We want to know what God wants. That's what it's saying here. Teach me your ways. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts. So shall I meditate on your wonderful works. My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Notice that the word will strengthen us. Let's look up before we go to one more verse in Psalm 119. Let's just pull up on the screen Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. My mind wants to go to the dust, to the earth. But Lord, revive me, renew me so that I want to live for you, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable for us to want to renew our minds so we can live and look more like Jesus. It's reasonable. Jesus paid the price for us. It's reasonable. The reason we know the end from the beginning is because Jesus paid the price for us. It's reasonable that we live for him. It's reasonable. But we don't do it without renewing our mind. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You will not live in the perfect will of God if you will not renew your mind. You may go to heaven, you may be saved. You may, you know, see some blessings in your life because God is such a good, merciful, gracious Father. But if you want his perfect plan for your life, if you want that perfect will of God operating in your life, you've got to renew your mind. You got offense in your mind, you got to get that offense out. You know, who's that offense towards? Your offense towards your pastors? Well, get in there in Ephesians 4:11 and see that Jesus left you with a pastor. Oh my goodness, I don't want to be offended at the thing that Jesus gave me. Amen. Oh, someone will say that I like myself too much because I just said that. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about the ministry offices. And the devil will get you offended at your pastor because the devil knows that God works through your pastor to get you the word of God that revives your life, that helps you to know how to walk according to the word, that helps you to walk like Jesus, that helps you to live in the victory and not let him twist your life and devour you. So he'll get you into offense. So you got to answer offense. He'll get you into where you are poverty minded. So you got to answer that. Sometimes the Lord is going to have you buy something that costs money that you would never have spent because he's going to get you out of that poverty because that's an answer to the devil. And I'm willing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, let's go to Psalm 119. 97. You're in Psalm 119. Let's go to 97 now. 97 to 98, and we're going to end with this. Oh, how I love your law. Your word. That's what the law means. It is my meditation all the day. So you say, I have to go to work. I have to do the dishes. I have to give my, you know, I got to go feed the animals, whatever it is, right? I'm meditating on the word of God as I'm doing that. It's easy to do that when you're taking one scripture at a time. It's really easy to do that. It's not easy to read a whole chapter of the Bible while you're doing all these things you need to do in life, but it's really easy to have one scripture constantly on your heart and rolling around and, you know, murmuring it and meditating on it. It's really easy to do that. The devil will make it seem really hard. I know because I've been there. I live here. But the devil will make it seem really hard to learn scripture, make it seem really hard to spend time with God. But when you take something simple, it's really easy to stick a granola bar in your pocket. I can't stick the whole Thanksgiving dinner in my pocket, but I can stick a granola bar in there. Or I can't put a bear in there. A granola bar in there. And then when I want it and I want to eat, I can eat. It's readily available to me. If you got one scripture, you can stick a scripture in your pocket. And you can get that scripture. One scripture in your heart is better than 50 in your head or 50 on a piece of paper that you're carrying around with you. Get one scripture in your heart. I challenge you to go and do this test. I challenge you to spend time on the way home, as you're in the vehicle, whatever it is. Do it sooner than later because the devil will get you not to do it. He'll convince you that it's stupid or convince you don't have time or you're too tired or you're hungry or whatever. So do it the sooner the later. But do the arsenal test. What do you got in there? Do the inventory. What do I have? What's the inventory right now? Am I down? You all know video games. You got an inventory of weapons and things. You're going to go see what's in your inventory. Because if you don't have much there, you're going to be in trouble. Because the devil's coming and there's a real battle. And if you don't have a lot in your inventory, you're going to need to get more in there. Okay? So then what happens here is you purpose to do this and the Holy Spirit will meet you. So you don't have to do it all. You know, you're like, oh my gosh, my arsenal is empty. I better get something in there. Okay, start with one and the Holy Spirit will meet you. Amen? Hallelujah. I hope that helps. Without renewing our minds, we can't say no to the flesh. We want to choose spiritual things first, but our flesh fights that. Because my mind is renewed regarding certain things, it's easy for me to do those things. But if my mind isn't renewed, it wouldn't be easy. For instance, it's 90 degrees outside. It'd be really easy to stay home in a pair of shorts in my air-conditioned house and drink some ice tea or lemonade. My flesh would love that. My flesh would really like that, right? But I know the law of impartation. I know the greater things. Remember Jesus, he said to Mary, said to Martha about Mary when they were in Martha's house. He said that Mary had chosen the good thing. Mary had chosen the good thing. Martha was worried about all the natural, but Mary had chosen the good thing. When we ignore the call of the flesh to choose the spiritual things, then we are choosing the good thing, okay? But my mind is renewed on that, so I know better. I don't just skip church to sit in a pair of shorts and air conditioning and drink lemonade. I don't do that because I know that the better thing is at church, amen? But you know, and that may seem like a really kind of generic example, but what about when you are in a relationship and your flesh wants to do things that you know are not right and pure according to Scripture? How do you choose to do the right thing? You better have your mind renewed on that. Right. It better not be that, oh, the devil will tell you, oh, God's just trying to ruin your fun. I want to do this, but God's just always trying to ruin my fun. No, if you knew that there was a blessing attached to one man and one woman, there was a blessing attached to covenant, then you wouldn't give things that were part of covenant away to somebody who wasn't in your covenant. Yeah. So you have to learn to answer whatever it is. We all have weaknesses. I was talking to Mark about this. We were just having good talk about the word and about the things that humans deal with. We all have an area that the devil can get us in very easily. So we have to learn to recognize that. And so if we know there's an area that the devil has won many times in our life, we got to get that arsenal filled up with the things to fight against that. I'm somebody who grew up with a poverty spirit, a poverty mentality. We didn't buy any clothes unless they were on that clearance rack. And if they were on that clearance rack and they weren't at least 50 or 60% off, we probably still wouldn't buy them. You know, we didn't buy anything that was name brand. We didn't do that. Because we didn't, you know, and there's a difference between being a good steward. You got to know where you're at. And I shop on the sale rack. I'm not saying that's wrong. Don't twist that. But what I'm saying is sometimes I only do it because I'm scared. Yeah, right. There's a difference between wanting to get a deal and being scared that you don't have enough to buy what you really want. Right. I'll tell you the difference. A poverty mentality is I found the perfect outfit, the perfect dress, I love it, or the most comfortable pair of shoes, but they were $10 more than the ones that were over here. And the ones over here weren't comfortable, but they were $10 cheaper. Been there? I want the comfortable ones because God wants me to have the comfortable ones. I want the nicer one because God wants me to have the nicer one. So that's the difference. The fear can't rule us. But all this to say, whatever area you know that you deal with, that's the arsenal. That's where you start filling up your arsenal. Start there. And then you go to the other areas. I've never had a problem with, I don't have a problem in my life. I don't struggle in the area of, you know, sexual sin, for instance. So I'm not going to start with the scriptures about sexual sin. I'm going to start with the scriptures about prosperity and God supplying my needs if that's the area that the devil's been able to get me in. Does that make sense? So we hide them in our heart. We get them inside of us. We let them dwell in us richly, abundantly. Richly has two meanings. When you take a bite of chocolate cake, you know when it's rich. When is it rich? Oh, it's got that chocolate flavor. It's super, super sweet, right? That's rich. So that means it's really highly concentrated. We can taste it really well. And that's what getting the scripture richly in us. I can taste that. I can close my eyes and I can know that scripture. I can almost taste that scripture. I just know it. It is so rich in me, right? So there's the one meaning of the word rich. So we're going to concentrate by getting the one scripture richly in us. But then the next meaning is abundantly. And so then as we get one in us, it's our job to get the next one. and the next one, because we're not going to have the abundantly inside of us unless we do it. Isn't it interesting that it all falls on us, brothers and sisters? It all falls on us to do the word. So we're going to let the word of God dwell in us richly. We're going to renew our minds. It's easy. Don't let the devil tell you otherwise. Go home tonight. On your way home, do that arsenal inventory. And whatever areas you know you need more in there, then you work towards those things. Amen.